And welcome to Draw, Loser, Draw, a weekly podcast covering all things Partick Thistle. Joining me this week on a bumper squad rotation panel, we have Chris Doolandit. We have made the changes. Firstly, myself, Heather Holloway, as host. And then I'm joined by, I would say, maybe the Brian Graham of the podcast. Mrs. Dependable always adds to the scoreline and makes it better. We've got Rhys Haldane. Rhys Haldane, how are you?
I'm very well, thanks, Heather. Thank you for the Brian Graham likeness. I take that. I really enjoy that one. But it's the same with like the hosting situation. It's a bit like Thistle's, you know, goalkeeping department at the moment. It's like we all know who the best option is, but favouritism sometimes doesn't allow the best option to play. So I'm glad we've got the true number one in tonight.
I can't wait to hear the host's reaction to that. Our Jamie Sneddon, rest in peace. Secondly, joining us tonight, we've got who I'm going to liken to Harry Milne, who has gone on a recent real surge of great performances, a few man of the matches, I have to say, and just really going into his role. We've got Jamie McDonald here. Jamie, how are you?
Another great intro. I'll definitely take it. And yeah, I'm looking forward to hearing how many pod bans Matt will be handing out for all these strays that he's catching. But yeah, I'm good. Thank you.
And speaking of our host, he has royally stitched me up today and given me two people with the same name, but I can rise above it and I can make this work tonight. We've got Rhys Jenkins here. Now, Rhys, I'm going to compare you to, obviously, as I said, it was a change in formation and a change in squad. So you can have the option tonight if you are either Scott Robinson and or Rasiri Williams, who both came in and really changed the team for the better this week. So, well, hi Rhys, how are you?
Hi, not bad. I thought I was gonna get like into like a dodgy January loanee that's come in, but maybe been there a few seasons ago and done all right. Yeah, I'm not bad. I'll take Robinson, I think.
Yeah, I think I would take him too. I think that's fine. Because I'm hosting, we're gonna start with a little icebreaker. I was just thinking we haven't really had a Tuesday Saturday game for a little while, and it just adds to the week. It's quite exciting, slash it's just great to be again with your Thistle friends and just to be all around each other. So I'm just wondering, I'm assuming it wasn't this week, but Jamie, what's been your favorite week as a Thistle fan, like when we've had like a few games on the trot and you've just really enjoyed it?
Probably the playoff semis last season. You know, the atmosphere on the club at that time was, it was just so good. And when we played there at home 3-0, and then we went to Somerset and like the sun was shining down, it was such a good day. We won 5-0 going into the final, and insane form that we were on. It was just everything was perfect that week. So that's probably my favorite week as a Thistle fan. Second to that would be, it's strange because we weren't in the games, but probably the League One season when we played Cove. I think was Cove on the Tuesday, Falkirk was on the Thursday. The days are escaping me now, but that was good, and it would have been even better if we could have been in the ground for them. But just because we'd been stuck away from games for so long, and a lot of that season had been a mess, the way that it ended up finishing was just fantastic. So those are the two that stick out for me.
I think that's a really good two options you've given, especially because lockdown, it felt like we were playing every 3 days, but that's because in lockdown every day was just the longest ever. But yes, I think those are two good options. Rhys Jenkins, do you have another favourite week as a Thistle fan, or are you similar to Jamie?
I'm struggling. I feel like the answer has been taken out of my mouth with the playoffs, because I mean, everyone agrees that's got to just be the best experience we've had, barring how it ended in years as Thistle fans. But I'd say maybe, I don't know if it was how quickly in succession it was, but there's got to be an international break for Scotland recently that's kind of been up there with some good results. I'm trying to think what the games surrounding the Spain win were, but there's been a few good Scotland breaks. So I'd say if we're going football generally, that's maybe the only thing that's competing with the playoffs for me.
Yeah, that's a solid answer. And yeah, we're very lucky to be growing up in this generation of a Scotland team that play well. So let's bring it back to Tuesday, where we played Ayr United and unfortunately lost 4-3. Rhys Haldane, I'm going to ask you the classic, the starting lineup. Were you shocked, or any shocks and surprises from that? I think naturally the goalie position might come up here, but just in general, what were your thoughts before the Ayr game?
The obvious one for me was Ross Stewart in goals. I didn't really think he covered himself in glory against Dunfermline, and I was kind of hoping that David Mitchell was back in for the game at Somerset, but obviously it wasn't to be. Fair enough, Doolan probably thought, you know what, we'll give him another go, see how he does. Unfortunately, it didn't work out for him. So in terms of the rest of the starting 11, I think it's sort of, the team at this moment in time, it was kind of picking itself at the moment. I do think it's a bit harsh on maybe Ben Stanway. He's not really had much game time in the last month or so. But Macbeth's come in and he's done well, and he's probably deserving to keep his space at the moment. So it's kind of fair enough. And obviously Graham's in great form just now. We all know how streaky he is as a player. He can go 3 or 4 games without a goal, and then he'll score in each of the next 4. So he's in one of the good purple patches at the moment. So now the team picks itself really, other than the goalkeeper.
I think that's totally fair. Jamie, just going straight into Somerset, what do you think went wrong? Why were we 3-1 down so quickly?
I feel I'd have been more annoyed about this in the recording if we hadn't, the Dundee United game hadn't been in between, but just terrible defending and a pretty poor goalkeeper, or a combination of it, I'd say. Going forward, we looked a threat at times, I'd say, in the first half, but I'd say every single goal we conceded was avoidable. I'm trying to think back to all of them now. I think the first one, does it come down their right or left, and it's cut back, and then it's hit underneath Stewart, I think. I can't really remember, but it was the quick fire double before half time. It was just atrocious from us. Now the first one is a complete mess, and then 2 unmarked men in the box and ends up in a goal, and their third one was the worst of the lot. It's just a long ball forward by, I think it was McGinty, of course it was, and it's flicked on near heads a mile off him, and then Stewart comes rushing out, makes one of the strangest attempts to get rid of the ball I've ever seen. Looks like he's, you know, diving off a dive board at the Olympics or something, the way he goes for that ball, which completely misjudges it, gets chipped for the second game running. And yeah, I'd say that was the main problem with the goals in the first half. And then in the second half, the goal we conceded in the second half was just, you know, a massive switch off in concentration. We've just equalised, worked so hard back into the game. And then Luke Macbeth has been very impressive recently, and was again on Saturday. Just his one bad moment for us. He just fluffs the pass. They come away with it. It's not just his fault, though, because we have chances to get rid of it. We don't do it. And then a really tame shot goes at Stewart. He makes a bizarre effort to save it, ends up either going through his legs or hitting underneath his leg or whatever, and we want to lose the game. So it's very, very frustrating from a defensive point of view, that game.
I think you've hit the nail on the head. I think that the defence was definitely the cause of all the problems on Tuesday night. Rhys Jenkins, I'm going to ask you, because you obviously haven't been on for a little while, what your thoughts are in general of the defence and the goalkeeper situation, and why do you think this has just been a problem for us this season, especially with set pieces?
There's quite a bit to it. I mean, I think that the goalkeeper position, it feels to me like there was a bit of beef there with Mitchell, and there was a lot of hesitance to bring him back into the side, because it seems like the obvious option when you lose Sneddon, you're going to bring the second choice keeper back in, the guy that was starting in the playoff run for us. So the fact that Stewart played 2 games and, you know, he had to play that badly to kind of lose his place, it shows how poorly he performed. And yeah, there's been a few goals over the 2 games where, you know, it was just shocking goalkeeping. So I think that a lot of it was down to, you know, just throwing the ball in our own net a wee bit. Also, just defensively, we were just so poor. Like, I don't know exactly how to put my finger on it, but I think it was the second air goal. I was watching the highlights back. They basically knocked a long ball up, and we had like our front four like pressing up quite high onto the kind of defensive line, and then like the ball gets lumped up, and the defence are so deep, so you just get acres of room in between, and the defensive line just gets pushed back to the byline, and there's just acres of room in the box for them to, you know, attack and they score from it. I think that was the McAllister goal, maybe. I might be wrong, but yeah, it just seems like we're just really disorganised. We'll come on to the Dundee United game, but I think we definitely seem to be doing the basics right in the Dundee United game, and we're a lot more compact. So yeah, I think that was something I've thought recently about the defence, is that we just seem quite lacklustre.
absolutely. And I think it was really obvious at Somerset, especially when we're so close to the park there, that there were so many gaps in our defence and just people not tracking and picking up was just really infuriating to watch. Rhys Haldane, I'm going to ask you, after clawing it back to 3-3, did we deserve anything? And did you see that 3-3 coming? Because I certainly didn't.
I certainly didn't see us getting it back to 3-3, to be honest. I remember speaking to you at halftime, Heather, and I'm really bad for every time we're losing a game at halftime. I'll always bring up the fact that we haven't came from behind to win a game we've trailed at halftime in like 5 or 6 years now, which of course is a shocking stat. So every time we go in trailing at the break, I'm always thinking you'd be as well going home because we can't turn a game around when we're down at halftime. So I remember speaking to you at the interval about that. And obviously, we do so well. We were so dominant in the second half. We kind of had the full second half was pretty much played in their half, and we done well to bring it back to 3-3. You know, it's just so disappointing that 30 seconds later they have a shot from distance from the edge of the box. It's right down the goalie's throat, and I don't know. It's poor for Macbeth, obviously, to lose the ball initially, but you expect your goalie to save that. I just don't think it was good enough from the keeper, especially when you've worked so hard with the ball in there half the full time and to bring it back. So, no, it was really disappointing. I would probably say we deserved a draw because we were our own worst enemy. As was said earlier, I don't think Ayr were even that good. I don't think Ayr had to work too hard to be 3-1 up, to be honest with you. We were just really poor at the back, really poor defending. We could talk about that for days. But ultimately, the guys up front, there's not much more they can do. We're having to score 3 goals every week nearly to pick up a point. And of course that had to change. We sort of changed the shape, and of course we'll come on to what happened at Fort Hill at the weekend, but no, it really wasn't good enough at the back, and I almost felt sorry for our forward players, you know, our Fitzpatricks or Grahams and whatnot, who are putting their all into it every week. And you see how angry Graham was. He's like one of us. It's frustrating when you're scoring these goals, you're doing everything, knocking your pan in, and all it takes is for the other team to go up the other end of the park, have a pop shot, and it's in the net.
Not Thistle related, but I don't know if you've seen Graham Shinney's reaction to losing that last minute goal against St Mirren for Aberdeen. And I think that just sums up every single Thistle fan's reaction to when we have lost last minute goals. And it is just beyond infuriating, but totally agree, Rhys, the fact that we were, you know, we were still bouncing and celebrating the equaliser and we're having to, you know, get pulled back down. So it's so frustrating. Jamie, listen to my last question about the Ayr game, because I think we want to start talking about things a bit more positive. But having, you know, really recreated that goal for us just a few minutes ago, is that the worst goal you've seen us concede?
I mean, that's probably saying something, but no. We've conceded some bizarre goals over the years. A couple that stick out to me. Last season, that I think ended up being a McMillan own goal at home to Hamilton, with Mitchell blasts the ball, it's off like McMillan's head or his back or something, and ends up going over him. And then James Penrice scoring that chipped own goal from about 20-25 yards in the League One season against Falkirk. Stuart Bannigan's own goal against Clyde in the League Cup back in 2019, when he turns around, passes it to Fox, isn't on his line, it ends up going in. I remember Christy Elliott's inexplicable dribble across the box against Ayr in 2018 that's ended up in a goal. The other one is another 2018 special against Morton. It was Tiff who scored against us as well. When Sneddon's come running out, Elliott's backed off, they run into each other, and Tiffany's chipped the ball in from about 30 yards. So we've conceded a lot of bad goals over the years, but it might make itself way into the top 10, but that's probably saying something.
I feel like there was a Danny Devine own goal as well that really sticks out in my head, is in just remembering the name. But I think that's a pod idea at some point for a slow week, the worst goals ever conceded. But I just thought I should bring that question up to kind of remind Thistle fans that it has been worse, because I think a few of us were really in the trenches after Tuesday, me included. I was not looking forward to the Dundee United game at all, but it's good to remember that we have conceded worse and we have been in worse runs. So let's go forward and think about Saturday. So we had, obviously, we're playing Dundee United, top of the league. Just before that, on the Friday night, our Broth had managed to claw back and beat Raith Rovers 3-2, which really maybe took a little bit of pressure off Dundee United as they were still top of the league. But it was quite an exciting time in the championship. Reece Jenkins, I want to ask you, pre-game, many of us predicted on the podcast a loss. Just thinking, what were your pre-match thoughts and maybe your reaction to the squad starting 11?
Yeah, so I went in with like very little confidence. I was like speaking to a couple of guys in the Aiken suite before it, and I was saying, it was actually Dundee United fans, and I was just saying that I was predicting like a 3 or 4 nil loss, to be honest. I was convinced we'd get smashed. But yeah, in terms of the team selection, I think a lot of us thought it might have been a three at the back setup with Robinson and Macbeth in the middle. But it made a little bit more sense when we saw it and it was Nielsen being pushed forward and Wasiri brought in at the back. That gave me a bit more confidence because I think that, as I've been saying, we've just been quite lackluster and sort of like open defensively. So having, you know, a natural central defender in Nielsen, who's also kind of good with the ball at his feet, and then bringing another natural centre half in, you'd like to think that would add a bit of physicality and, you know, help to kind of shore us up a bit. And I think it did. And it wasn't just the personnel, though. I think that in general, we were just more organised and more compact. And having a goalkeeper that, you know, can actually save some shots helps as well. So, yeah, I think I was very pleasantly surprised by, like, just how we played in general. I mean, we didn't create bucket loads of chances, but we did limit Dundee United mostly. And yeah, there was also some other big talking points that we'll come on to about potential red cards and penalties and such. But yeah, overall, it was I was really happy after the game. So big surprise that we didn't get battered from my point of view.
I think you've got it spot on in the fact that lots of us went in with the lowest expectations. I don't think many of us thought in the first 4 minutes we would have been celebrating a goal. I think that really took a lot of us by surprise and was really a really welcome surprise at that. Jamie, I don't know if you've watched the, and I'm sure you will have, the Dundee United highlights of the kind of story behind the game. And in that, Jim Goodwin really alluded to the fact that it was a game of two halves, in the sense of that they said that they were terrible in the first half and then they really came alive in the second and were kind of bombarding us, which I wasn't quite sure about. But would you agree with that assessment, if the fact that it was maybe a game of two halves, is that a fair reflection?
Yeah, I think it probably is a fair reflection. I think we were the better team in the first half. We were controlling the play more. We were absolutely bossing the midfield. I thought with that midfield two of our defensive midfield two of Macbeth and Nielsen, they were so physical, thought they were brilliant in the air. We were winning all the second balls, and Dundee United looked a bit rattled. They were giving the ball away quite a lot, just making strange decisions. We were winning it back. I thought Robinson, I mean, we've said it before, he's an absolute workhorse, and he was just winning it back for us a lot. And we were looking a lot better in that half. Second half, they came out, they made some changes. They looked much more of a threat. The goal they scored, well, it's maybe not ideal defensively. It was a good finish, so I wasn't like raging. I'd say at the end of the day, looking at the game, a draw was probably a fair result. I know Goodwin was saying that he thought they should have won, but I think a point of peace was probably a fair reflection of the game.
Reece, Haldane, Jamie's highlighted a few people in there and talked about the midfield. Just wondering for you in general, who stood out and what was that marked difference between Tuesday and Saturday?
Well, I think the big difference, and obviously the talking point, was when we seen the team and you didn't really know exactly who was going to line up where, but the big notice you could tell straight away was the physicality. You look at the size difference just from a couple of changes. You always hear like players doing interviews or talking about their debut, and they're always surprised about, they always talk about, oh, I was in the tunnel when I looked at the other team and they were absolute giants. You don't realise how big these guys are. And I felt like that was us at the weekend. You look at Aero, Nielsen, Macbeth, Waz, Brian Graham, and even Scott Robinson. Scott Robinson's not a tall guy, but he's a very physical player. Like I can tell you right now, guys would hate playing against him just because he's a bit of a rat in the middle of the park, and you need guys like that. So we were a real physical presence, and obviously that paid off after, what, 90 seconds or something, we're 1-0 up. Scoring from a corner, you know, that's been our Achilles heel this year, is defending corners, but they have that sort of aerial threat. You know, obviously the assist comes off Waz and Macbeth, like, dominating Kevin Holt, who's arguably the best header of the ball in the division. So they dominate him in there, and Graham knocks it in. So straight away the decision to go a bit more physical paid off. And to be fair, you look at teams in the past, it might not always work out, and it certainly, I don't think it's going to work for every game. So I'm not 100% set on, you know, keeping the same 11 every week, because there's times where you will need to make more use of Lawless and Fitzy and get, you know, McEnroy in there. But for games like, you know, Dundee United, and potentially when it comes to playing Raith Rovers or any potential games against Morton or playoffs, you know, that's something that's a real bonus, that knowing that we can change it up and, you know, match these teams for physicality. So that would be the key difference for me. In terms of standouts, you know, I didn't even mention them when I was talking about the physical presence, but guys like Harry Milne and Jack McMillan, they're massive fullbacks. Like, you know, they can both slot in and play at the centre of defence, no bother. So I thought that Harry Milne was excellent. The guys in Madura Park, as I've mentioned, they were both brilliant. Macbeth and Nielsen, Robinson put in a good shift, and of course Graham making it four consecutive games with a goal. He's flying at the minute, and I say this all the time, and we all probably agree, it's actually brilliant to have Brian Graham play for our club. So that's 72 competitive Thistle goals now. Ajay, you mentioned in the paper the other day, like, he feels like he can play well into his 40s, and who's going to write him off? He's genuinely getting better with age. You look at his career before joining Thistle, I mean, he was a good striker. He scored goals everywhere he went. He was a decent player. He's came to Thistle, and I think he's obviously at the end of his career now, but he always mentions teams are coming in for him. I think his sort of market value skyrocketed since turning 35. And I'm glad that he's still here for another couple of years, and long may it continue, because I can't wait to see him score 100 for us.
I was walking back to the car with my dad, and we kind of fell into step with some Dundee United fans, and they were just going to town on Brian Graham. And I said to them, I was like, well, do you not just think, and we've said this before, he's the player that when he's not in your team, you hate him. But when he is in your team, he is your everything. He is your talisman, your mascot, the one that you want over every ball and every decision. And he just lives and breathes Thistle. And I think we're just so lucky, as you say, Reece, to have him playing the way he is. And long may that continue. Reece Jenkins, I'm going to like throw you in here because I think you've got something to say.
I don't know where to start. I originally had a point that came to my head when Reece was talking about the physicality in the team, so I guess I'll start with that. It was basically that I hadn't quite mentioned it when I was speaking earlier, but I think that there was such a noticeable difference in the physicality, and that's a big plus for us at set pieces, I think. Both attacking and defending just kind of makes us better in both boxes, I think, when we have that physicality, because I think it was so noticeable the weekend, like Macbeth and Nielsen, they're so like physically dominating, like in our league, like what midfielders are matching them for physicality. So I think again, as you said, that's just a brilliant kind of tactical flexibility to have, like, see, for our big away games, like and big games in general, being able to kind of switch to that if we think it'll give us an edge is a really good kind of it's a really good tool for us to have. It might not be we need it in all our kind of home games and stuff, but you never know, as the season drags on and we get into these knockouts in the playoffs potentially, I think that'll be really useful. And then I mean, echo everything that said about Brian Graham, but that wasn't actually what I raised my hand for there. But love him, and everyone else seems to hate him, so even better.
Reece Jenkins, I'll just stick with you for 2 seconds. Was there anyone else that you think stood out in that game? The ones maybe that Reece and Jamie haven't mentioned?
To be honest, I don't think there were many bad performances at all. And I think we only made one sub. So that's like the 10 guys that were left out there, which was everyone but Lawless, all put in really solid shifts. It's hard to kind of pinpoint. I was mostly impressed with the kind of defensive side of the team. So the whole back four and then back five, including Mitchell. Yeah, I don't know if anyone stood out, but I was impressed by everyone. There was a guy behind me in the Lambie stand going on at McMillan again, and he seems to do it every week, and I've honestly got no idea what he's watching, because I think McMillan's fantastic. He said he can't defend or attack, which was quite perplexing, but I was happy with everyone, to be honest.
I love that we've got a kind of re-squared loving for Jack McMillan. Long may that continue. Jamie, I want to ask you one of the listener questions that we got, since we've just been supporting and praising the midfield. Dave Donnelly asks, is there a place in the midfield for Banzo now? Now, I know Reece Haldane maybe talked about the fact that this isn't the definite formation that we're going to play for the rest of the season. So do you see a place for Banzo coming back in?
No, I definitely do. I agree with what Reece was saying. I don't think this will be the shape that we're going into every single game with. I think it'll work for some games, but not all of them. And some games will require someone like Banigan. And I definitely don't think he's out of the team for the foreseeable future. But I think, I mean, I'm sure we'll go on to previewing the Queen's Park game. I feel like Doolan might just keep the same shape for next week. Queen's Park, a team, they're the form team in the league right now. As far as I'm aware, I think they actually, over the last 5 games, have picked up the most points in the league. And they're scoring a decent amount of goals. They beat Arbroath 6-0 a couple of weeks ago. I know Arbroath aren't the best side defensively, but regardless, they are still scoring a lot of goals and they've got Rory Payton up top. So I think keeping with a more defensive physical shape maybe would be the option for Dillon there, but who knows. But I do definitely think there's still a place in this team for Bannigan. He's not got out of the picture at all.
Rhys Haldane, I'm going to ask you one of the questions from another listener question. It's a two-parter. Firstly, is Declan Gallagher's Barnet the most offensive in Scottish football currently? I think that really ties into our kind of Spice Boy 11 kind of question. And if you haven't listened to that podcast, it is available and I'm worth a listen because it's quite a laugh. And then secondly, and a point that Rhys Jenkins brought up, and we'll probably bring a few more of you into the conversation, should Doherty and Molt have seen red? So you can answer those questions.
First part, in terms of Declan Gallagher's Barnet, the most offensive in Scottish football. I wouldn't say it's the most offensive because I believe Paul McGowan is still on the books of Cove Rangers, and that takes the bait. That's the world's worst Barnet. So I know he's had a transplant and stuff, but it's still, I don't know what's happening with that. But moving on to the red card decisions, you know, the first one, Doherty, I'll hold my hands up, I haven't really watched the highlights back, like proper highlights. I've seen sort of the Dundee United story of the match and whatnot. I don't think the Doherty one's a red card. You know, you get these 50-50s. Some refs might have gave it, but I'm happy with that one not being a red. It's whatever. I didn't really think it was at the time. But the Louis Moat one, I think, is a certain red card. I've watched that one back on replay, and even then, you're looking at the ref, and it was Matthew McDermott's the ref who's touted to be one of the best refs in the country. I know that's not saying much in Scottish football, but he's looking right at it. Jack Walton's played the ball over the top, and he's not even looking at the ball. He's just staring at Wasiri. He leans with his elbow, catches Wasiri right under the linesman's nose. I can't believe he didn't get a red card for that. It's a stonewall red card, and Dundee United definitely got away with one there, but kind of feels like that's our luck at the moment, where decisions like that aren't really going our way. But yeah, I think they were lucky to finish the game with a full compliment.
I did find it interesting, again, on this walk with these Dundee United fans, because my dad parked so far away, that firstly, they said that there was the penalty, and we saw that in the story of the match, the penalty claim that they had. But also, they said about the Ross Doherty thing, they said they didn't think it was a red, but they thought it was interesting that he was taken off so quickly after it. They wondered if maybe they thought, like Goodwin thought he might get a little bit wound up, especially if the situation being back at Thistle. So thought that was quite interesting. But also, I asked them, because they were so close to the Waz and Louis Moult one, and they said they fully admitted they thought it was definitely a red, and the fact that he had live his elbow. And I always quite rate when opposition fans for their own team can admit when something's wrong. And I did find that quite interesting. Rhys Haldane, I can come back to you maybe about that penalty or anything you want to come in on.
Yeah, I'll come back in. So with the penalty one, like watching it at the time, I was in the north stand, so I didn't see the penalty claim, but it was obviously they did have quite a big penalty claim. A lot of their players were appealing for it. I didn't really see it, and even their story of the match highlights, I don't really think it's clear. I can't make out even who's gave the penalty, like who the penalty claim's against. I've seen guys on United fans on Twitter saying Scott Robinson handballed it, and they had the photo of it, which clearly isn't even the incident they're talking about, because I believe the one that they're wanting the penalty for was Luke Macbeth. But I really don't know. In terms of the Doherty incident, I noticed that they took him off pretty much straight away. I think Jim Goodwin was saying they only really planned to give Doherty an hour. He ended up playing 70 minutes. So I know he's obviously working his way back up from injury and getting back fully fit, which is actually, it's disappointing for us. I wish he was still injured, because their record with him without him is incredible. They've not lost a league game when he's played, and I think they've lost quite a few and dropped a few points when he hasn't been in the squad. So it did seem like he was getting a bit rattled, him and Holt, and even Declan Gallagher. I thought Brian Graham was in his head all day. So it's good to see, you know, these key players were sort of feeling the pressure playing it for Hull. So a bit of both there. I think he was getting rattled, but at the same time, I think Goodwin's just sort of managing his load at the minute.
Fantastic point. Someone in our Jazz Foundation chat was talking about the fact that Graham looked a little bit suspect and offside for our goal, which I clearly didn't see at all. So maybe had made the suggestion that it kind of, the decisions evened themselves out over the course. Jamie, would you agree with that? Or would you think that we've still been pretty hard done by?
I don't know. I feel it's difficult because I agree with Reece. I actually don't think the Doctor one was a red card, but the Moat one, I think it was. I said it in the chat as well. I thought the Moat one was a red card. The penalty, I don't know. I was with the Jackie Husband and I couldn't see at the time. So many bodies in the way. And then on the slowed down thing that Dundee United put up, you can't tell because there's so many bodies again in the way of the camera that it's almost impossible to tell. So I find it hard to say if they've been hard done by or not. Apart from that, I don't really think there's any big decisions that didn't go Dundee United's way. But then again, I saw a lot of people saying they thought the ref was atrocious on Saturday. I wouldn't say, I mean, I suppose maybe this is recency bias because of the referee against Dunfermline being that bad that it makes the guy on Saturday not look that bad. I didn't think he was terrible, but I do think Louis Moat should have been sent off. He'd already had a previous incident in the first half when he, I can't quite remember, like squared up to Rossieri or something like that. And he had a couple other moments throughout the game. So I think he was very lucky to stay on the park.
Rhys Jenkins, I'm going to ask you because I think, to be honest, Rhys and Jamie are probably sick and tired of these questions about the goalkeepers. Someone on Instagram asked, do we stick with Mitchell for the rest of the season? Is he the best of a bad lot? I know we've already spoken about that we were quite overall impressed by him on Saturday, his commanding of his box, quick to get out and just genuinely made some really important saves. What do you think?
I mean, I've kind of long been of the opinion, quite controversially, that I've always thought Mitchell was our best keeper. And I think there was a bit of kind of Snedden, like they're always trying to kind of work Snedden back into the team. I think Snedden, you know, like he's had, and at times he's been quite a good shot stopper for us. Obviously, not so much in recent times, but his distribution has always just been, like, in my opinion, pretty terrible. And that just really, really frustrates me watching him. So I've kind of always preferred Mitchell. So it seems so obvious to me when Snedden went out that Mitchell would come back in. But, you know, there's talk about maybe his agent kind of being a bit of a pain and kind of falling out with Dylan and stuff. So I would be of the opinion, keep Mitchell there until, you know, you're sort of proven otherwise. But then also I think the thing with switching keepers is, you know, psychologically as a keeper, you'd think if you feel like you're going to make one mistake and lose your place, it might just kind of bring the overall level of all the keepers down, and we could be something we've been struggling with over the last couple of seasons, or few seasons even, just because it is such a high-pressure position, and if you're going to make a mistake and kind of be chucked out of the team, maybe it's just going to cause more mistakes in your game. Saw a wee bit of that at Arsenal earlier in the season with signing David Raya when they had Ramsdale, and then, you know, so sort of both having bad runs in the team as a result. Yeah, so that's kind of my thoughts on it. I would just keep Mitchell there and maybe kind of like tell him he has it till the end of the season, you know, unless, you know, it goes terribly. But that's pretty much my take on it, I'd say. I'd say keep Mitchell for now at least.
I think we talked about getting suspensions on this podcast for the way that we introduced it. I look forward to Matt offering some suspensions out for Mitchell bias, but I'm only joking. I think we can all see there that it was clearly the right decision that Dylan made, and it was good to see the nice photo of him and Dules hugging afterwards, so that was quite special. We're just going to move on, but finally, Reece Alden, I'm going to ask you this question. Archie asks, is this the turnaround to the unbeaten run and winning the league? I feel like this is the kind of David Forrest 66% chat. Are we seeing the, you know, the I don't know, I was going to call it the great escape, but I guess the great escape to the Premiership. Is it happening?
No, I'll be honest with you. We're not winning the league at this point, and I'm kind of the eternal optimist up until a couple of weeks ago. You know, it was always in the back of my mind, like, you know, string a couple of results together, beat Dundee United or beat Raith Rovers at some point, and you can be right back in the mix. But the last couple of weeks has put the final nail in that coffin, and, you know, we're kind of looking behind us now. So as long as we get top four and get into the playoff, you never know what can happen. Because and people keep saying, oh, if we get playoffs, it's a waste of time. But there's no chance we're going to run this year. We said the exact same thing last year. We got to the playoffs by way of Morton getting a goal disallowed in the 90th minute in their game. That's how we ended up in the playoffs last year, and we ended up going on that run out of nowhere. So it's just about hitting form at the right time. But I'm telling you one thing, I'm not looking forward to going to Capilona playoffs, so I hope that Morton can ease off a little bit and fall out of that top four. That would be ideal. But yes, short answer, I can't see us mounting a league title win, but you never know what can happen with the playoffs. So, but what I will say though, we are winless in six. We haven't won a league game in six games. So
That's what ultimately bottles it for us. We've done it last year and even the year before that. You know, there's times where we can mount title charges and make up points here and there. Teams around us are dropping points and we have games in hand kind of thing, but we don't really seem to take the chances when they come. So we are our own worst enemy.
Famously, absolutely. We're going to move forward and talk about the game that is coming up on Saturday, which is a trip to Hampden. Jamie, what are you expecting? What kind of game? And if you want to kick us off with a score prediction.
I think it's going to be a tough game. A couple, you know, even like a month or two ago, you'd have said this is a game we absolutely should be winning because Queen's Park were looking terrible, but they've definitely picked up recently. Like I said earlier, I think they are, either them or Inverness, I think, are the form team in the league right now, surprisingly, over the last five. But I still think we should be going there and getting the win. As I said earlier, I think Doolan actually might just stick with the exact same team again. I wouldn't be shocked to see that happening. What a score prediction. You know what? Go on. We have not kept a clean sheet for a while in the league. I think it's since the 4-0 Arbroath game in the league, and the last clean sheet in general was that the Ross County game. So I'm going to say we'll keep a clean sheet and we win 3-0.
Wow. Big talk from Jamie. Rhys Jenkins, I'm going to ask you for your score prediction, but also for if you think there might be any changes to the team at all.
I've got a feeling he'll stick with the same, given it's an away game and it's against a team who are in form. I think he might stick with it. Potentially see Banzo back, but I think it would make sense to give that team another chance. So I would go with the same team. And then predictions-wise, I'm not going to say 3-0. I think I would take any win. And yeah, a clean sheet would be lovely because we've conceded a ridiculous amount of goals this year. So if that team can kind of go back out there and limit Queen's Park to not have many chances and we can get a win, I'd take a 1-0, honestly. But, you know, even a draw wouldn't be the worst result. But given that we've got 1-1-8, I think it is, including the cup games, I would really like to see us go out there and win.
Rhys Haldane, I'm going to again ask you, do you see any changes coming in? And then for your score prediction.
It's tough to tell because, like I said earlier, you know, the team did work really well at the weekend. It was ideal for that sort of game. But how is that going to transfer on to, you know, the Hampden pitch? I know Firhill is a big pitch in itself, but, you know, Hampden's even bigger again. And we kind of did struggle to get Fitzpatrick and Lawless involved, which isn't really like them this season. But I'd personally be tempted to give it a go, see how it goes. If it's not working, you know, we've got the bodies on the bench where you can change that early doors. So, yeah, it's some food for thought for Doolan. In terms of the game, I'm looking forward to it. I do like going to Hampden, regardless of Thistle, Scotland or whatnot. I think Hampden is a decent stadium. Of course, it's not really much an atmosphere there at all for when you're playing Queen's Park. But I think the last time we went there, that's definitely in the top three worst performances this season. I was really concerned that night. It's right up there with Airdrie at the beginning of the season and in the 5-0 against United at the end of last year. But yeah, Queen's Park, I can't believe we got a draw that night. Queen's Park battered us. They should have been kind of out of sight. I think Rory Payton should have had a hat-trick. But I'm hoping we can get a win. I know, obviously, they're the form team in the league. I think they've picked up 14 points in their last six games. We've picked up four. We're actually bottom of the league's form table, but I'm a Thistle fan, so I've got to stick with a Thistle win. I'll say 2-1, Jags.
I'm going to copy you, Rhys. That's exactly what I had written down, so I'm also going to go for a 2-1 win. I think that obviously they are a much improved side to the one that we've beaten earlier this season. But also I don't quite back us yet to keep that clean sheet.
Hello, David here with a prediction for the Queen's Park game. I feel a bit out of the loop at the moment because I missed the Dundee United game and the Queen's Park game. Feeling a little bit detached at the moment. For a very good point from us on Saturday from what I saw. And a very interesting change in the formation. I think that Doolan probably will stick with the same lineup of having Macbeth and Nielsen sort of in the defensive midfield to kind of shore everything up. Another point to mention is I went to see Queen's Park play Morton a couple of weeks ago when we were playing Inverness, so I wasn't able to go to Inverness. And Queen's Park against that physical Morton Imbri side, they did struggle a little bit and they really couldn't get a foothold in the game. And I'm interested to see how that additional physicality that we brought against Dundee United with the likes of Macbeth and Nielsen sort of shoring up the midfield will work for us. I think it'll work to our advantage and I think it will allow us to be a bit more expressive and take the game at Queen's Park, who I didn't think were that great against Morton. Obviously, 6 against Arbroath is a great result, but Arbroath aren't that great, and this is a championship, so it's all over the place anyway. But yeah, I think that formation could be invaluable for us in this game. Queen's Park, obviously the form team, but we have scored a lot of goals against Queen's Park over the last sort of season, year. So I think that you will get goals in this. Will we keep a clean sheet? I'm not entirely certain. So I'll go 4-1 Thistle, a big Glasgow derby victory to boost morale ahead of the Raith Rovers game on Tuesday.
I'm not 100% sure about what we're going to be doing podcast-wise pre-Raith Rovers, and it's hard to really talk about a game before we see how we play on Saturday, but I do think that Raith will be obviously a tricky game. I don't know if we have much home advantage. I don't really know if that's such a thing at the moment for us. And I think it'll be interesting to see how we set up. Does anyone have any words they want to say on the Raith game? Or are we happy just to move on to Partridge?
With you mentioned the Raith game, it kind of made me think that Doolan will stick with the same team on Saturday against Queen's Park, because Raith's one of the teams you would maybe expect us to go with that more defensive set up against. They're scoring obviously a lot of goals this season. I know they've conceded quite a few as well, but they are still scoring quite a lot of goals, and one of the best teams in the league, evidently, given their position and their point tally. So the fact that that game's next after the Queen's Park game, you might want a bit of consistency and get that team more used to playing in that shape and formation. So it makes me think even more that we might just stick with the same team on Saturday, and then if it works, then carry it into the Raith game.
It still sticks with me the fact that their manager was there to watch us lose 3-2 to Livingston. And I'm sure he took a few notes out of the Nibley playbook that day. So yeah, I think it's going to be a tricky game. But also, I agree with you, Jamie. I think consistency is key, and I think a strong back five in front of our goalkeeper is a must. And maybe the continuity of that will be important. So to finish off this week, we are going to do Partridge Thistle, and the question this week was inspired by my after the game on Saturday, I went to Cooper's. I put to booth and looked over, and none other than Louis Molt and Declan Gallagher were sitting in said booth. Had to ask the bar staff to kindly get them to move, and had quite a nice chat with Louis Molt. I kind of avoided Declan Gallagher for reasons, but yeah, had a bit of a chat, talked about, you know, his shoe falling, coming off during the goal, talked about the red card situation, and just about their overall. He actually seemed quite okay with the point, especially because he felt like they hadn't played very well. But I guess that's a kind of Scottish football celebrity. And I've also had a great interaction with Scott Brown at the Scottish Open, when him and Stephen Whittaker were taking the rip out of my dad's Partick Thistle rucksack, which he carried with him. And then I think it was Scott Brown was actually like, you know what, respect that, you know, there's not many Thistle fans out there. And I like that he's like kind of wearing it with pride. So yeah, I've had a few Scottish football interactions over the years. I'm just wondering, it doesn't have to be football, it can be anything, your favourite celebrity interactions that you have had. I'm going to leave Rhys Haldane to last, because I believe he has got a great answer. So I'm going to start with Jamie.
I don't think I've got a great answer, so I'm looking forward to hearing Reese's, but there's a couple of random ones. Like, I've met a couple of Scottish football players out and about. I met Keith Lasley at the bank once. Ended up speaking to him. He was actually a really nice guy, surprisingly, because I used to hate him when he played against us when he was playing at Motherwell, but came across really well when I met him. I've met a couple of Thistle players out and about. I met Paul Byrne Osmond in town back in like 2015 or something. I remember once, when I was like quite a bit younger, like I was like 8 or 9, I met Judy Murray just by chance in Glasgow, and I got a photo with her. And she took like her rucksack off and put it on the ground. And my dad was like, oh, I'll get a photo, and then just stood in her bag and like crushed something in it. I can't remember what it was. Broke whatever she had just bought. I remember that happening as well. So there's just a couple of random ones off the top of my head. And yeah, there's not really many other than that. I met Martin Keown at a Thistle game once back when Niall Keown was playing for us. I'm sure Rhys Jenkins will be pleased to hear that I'm actually a kind of armchair Arsenal fan for my English team. So yeah, it's kind of cool to meet him as part of the municipal team.
some solid answers there, Jamie. And if I was Judy Murray, I would be so angry about that. It's actually funny. That's one of my nicknames at school, because we've had some boys from the LTA play, and I used to help tutor them a little bit and help them through. And I got nicknamed Judy Murray for that. So that's just a wee anecdote. Rhys Jenkins, a wee celebrity interaction that you've had.
I've had a few good Scottish football ones, actually. I don't know what to use. I used to work at Moorhall Hotel, and that's where the Scotland camp used to always be before the international breaks. I was about 17 or so. So I met all the Scotland team in Strachan and all that, because it was back then, because I'm kind of old. Yeah, Scott Brown was a really, really nice guy. So I think I was in the dishwasher room or something like that. And he came through, because it was kind of you didn't have to go through the hall and see all of the normal guests. And he just kind of stopped and talked to me for a minute, and he was a really good guy. So I'd say that was the biggest surprise, given, his persona on the pitch and all that is also hard, kind of macho hard man. So yeah, that was a surprise. And another one was I met John McGinn last year. I think it was last summer. Maybe it was the summer before that. And he was also really nice as well. So yeah, no kind of mad stories, but just McGinn and Brown, both really good guys. So they're my two.
Excellent. I do think that we are maybe a little bit luckier in Scotland, just to kind of naturally bump into these people. I feel like these stories just don't happen to English football fans. Rhys Haldane, do you want to close us with your story?
You've bagged it up now. But just when Jamie was mentioning the Arsenal Invincibles, I remember I seen Martin Keown and Niall Keown in Big Licks before. That was quite a fever dream one, just in for a Saturday night there and getting a Big Licks. But that's not my story. My story goes back to maybe about this time last year. I was down in London, and it was the crack of dawn. It was it's 9 a.m. at this point. And Harrods had just opened, basically on the dot. And I was right, I'll go into Harrods, kill some time. Because I was there, I was just far too early. I was earlier than I should have been. So I was I'll go into Harrods before I go to my hotel. And I'm floating about, and there's nobody in this place at this point because it is that early. I'm in the Loro piano shop, and I just look up and I turn over, and I was I'd done a quadruple take. I'm that's Karim Benzema standing right next to me. And this was last year, a couple of months after he just won the Ballon d'Or. And I'm that guy's the best football player in the world. So then I text my pals, and I'm mate, Benzema's standing right next to me. And they're shut up, mate, Real Madrid are playing tonight. And I was mate, I swear, he's they were playing a La Liga game that night. And I'm mate, he's standing next to me. So I look up, and I was I literally just said to him, I wouldn't see me football players in that. If I see them, we're talking about, you see them in Scotland all the time. They're just normal guys. But I was nah, this is different. It's Karim Benzema. So I looked up, and I was all right, Karim, I don't ask me why, but I was he looked up and he just went, right, and just nodded. And I was fuck. I would never normally do this, but I need to ask him for a photo, because if you get a photo with Benzema, you're going clear. The guy is quite cool, right? So I was fuck it, I'm asking him. And then before I could even finish my sentence, this big 7-foot-tall bodyguard's no photos. And I was fuck's sake. So my dreams were crushed, but I couldn't believe that. See, after, to be fair, I was a wee bit starstruck, because I was these guys are kind of on a different planet. You know how if you'd see someone proper famous like Drake or something, they don't even seem real. And to be fair, I kind of class him on that same kind of level. Benzema is one of the best of our generation. I just seen him that random Tuesday morning at 9 o'clock in London. But Real Madrid were playing that night, and he wasn't in the squad. And then obviously ended up leaving a couple of months later. But I was kind of shocked.
Yeah, we only have your word.
I swear, I took a video of him, but it was pure blurry, to be fair. I was actually acting like a fanboy. I was kind of shaking a wee bit. I was fucking compose yourself, man. But it was I couldn't believe it, because generally I've seen footballers and stuff before, right? Same place, I've seen John Terry and Begovic and stuff, right? But I was Benzema, that's actually mad. So, and the place was empty. It was just me and him in the shop. I was thinking to myself, he's obviously getting a private tour. I shouldn't be stood here. I've somehow evaded this, and I've ended up stood next to this gun. And I was I actually said to him, I was all right, Karim. And as soon as that left, I was why the fuck have I just said that to him? But he actually looked up and he's all right, and nodded. And I was nah, I need to take this moment, because what's the worst they could say? But obviously the worst they could say is his bodyguard being fuck off. And that's what I got. But genuinely, mate, he never posted anything about it. I was checking his Instagram, see if he posted a story in London or not, and he never posted anything, but mad.
That is a big story. Like, I equate that to like me meeting Taylor Swift. Like, that's a big one. And that's a great way to finish the podcast. Thank you so much for joining me this week. And I hope that you have all enjoyed our squad rotation this week. Please do send all your love and praise about the second in command host. And in any questions, please do. We love listening and asking them on the podcast. Hope you look forward to our game against Queen's Park at Hampden and then Fir Hill on Tuesday for Raith Rovers. In the meantime, stay safe and keep supporting Thistle.